You're in the home 6010. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus CSS DFS podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. That is Mike Clay. You can find us every Thursday on ESPN NFL's YouTube feed, and the podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have our good friend Al Zeidenfeld joining us. We are not your normal show. Normally, on Thursdays, there is a full season-long show here. But this week, there's no Thursday Night Football. I wanted to give the crew a little bit of extra time off. We're getting so close. So I decided we would put the DFS show in here for the season-long show. Mike, we're still going to... What's going on? Why are you tapping your hand like that? I feel like I'm doing something wrong. Am I doing something wrong?
You're not Field.
No, I'm not Field. I'm prettier than this man.
A lot more facial.
Do you know what movie that's from?
What is it?
Mike, I'm prettier than this man.
No, don't know.
You know he doesn't know.
Of course I don't.
Al?
I don't know any references.
Al, does that ring a bell to you or no?
No, actually you stumped me on that one.
This man can't be William Wallace. I'm prettier than this man. Braveheart?
I don't know.
No?
Okay, no.
You guys never watched Braveheart?
I saw it a long time ago.
It's been forever. Okay. Yeah.
Gosh. Wow. Any day that I can stump Al, I guess, is a pretty good day. Our producer, Matt, jumped in and he said Braveheart in my head. So
I just showed my kids National Treasure, and there was that moment where his assistant knows something he doesn't about, like, it's about daylight savings time or something.
He's like, wait, you don't know this?
I'm going to soak this up a second. I know something you guys don't. He just waits and won't tell us.
Is this how you feel all the time?
That's it.
I love that. Anyway, it doesn't mean anything to do with football, but we're going to do a DFS show today. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to hang out. We're going to have some fun talking about the week 18 slate.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because we do have some teams that are going to rest some players. We'll talk about that. I'm sure it'll come up throughout the show. Packers, Bengals, and not all that's decided, right? There's still kind of things up in the air. So we're going to have to pay close attention leading up to the games, but do have some a big slate here. A lot of teams playing in this one. So we have a lot of good options here. And this is the last regular season week, obviously, but we'll be back throughout the playoffs as well, all the way through the Super Bowl, like usual. So we're just, fantasy is kind of winding down season long, but not us. We still have a month or so to go.
Yeah, we're still going to keep going all the way through. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a ton of fun. Let's get into last week really quickly.
Really quickly.
Last week.
It's weird. Some weeks you want it to be quick. Some weeks you want to talk about it for a long time.
Well, no, we can talk about this one. Last week, Mike Clay crushed it. You put up a good number of points.
You are.
Our winner, B Moore 1983, 241.44.
He had a better week.
Fantastic. Fantastic week.
I'm going to guess he had the Burrow Chase stack.
Probably.
I'm going to guess.
If you didn't have Chase, it was going to be tough for you to have that.
And we did not have Chase in there. It was a tough week, right? Like usually after a huge week, the pricing goes up a little bit, and then they were playing Kansas City, who had done a pretty nice job against receivers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like in cash, it was hard to find a lot of value there, but obviously Chase, the most valuable player in fantasy last week, he completely crushed it.
Yeah. It's also tough too. I only had 108 points, and I'm going to say this. Sometimes you just pick all the wrong players.
Yeah, it happens.
It just doesn't work. Yeah. It's like taking Tyler Lockett on a week when Rashad Penny and DK Metcalf both explode, and you're like, well, what the...
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do here? All right. Anyways, join our league over at DraftKings. It is free to enter. There are $200 in prizes. Mike and I will tweet about it at Mike Clay NFL, at Daniel Dopp. You can follow at Al Zeidenfeld as well on Twitter. We do not tell people on there that it's free. We only tell people that they can join a league. You people are the only ones that we say it is a free league. It costs you no money.
And you can win money.
And you can win money. You can see how much fun it is to beat Mike Clay in daily fantasy. So, without further ado, is that what the words are?
Without further ado, that's it.
Did we bring in Al already?
Yeah, we did briefly, but we forgot about him. Are you still here, Al?
I'm just over here in the corner, laughing at all the jokes.
This is what you get for living in a nice, warm city on the West Coast. I mean, you're not in studio with us. We forget about you.
I promise we're not going to forget about you. Actually, we have a lot of fun things set up for today's show. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about quarterbacks first. And Mike, you want to talk about Josh Allen, which I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know either. Yeah, this is a new up-and-comer, right? Accuracy problems in college. I don't know if he's going to make it in this league.
Most expensive quarterback on the slate, though, right?
He is. And this is kind of references back to what I was just saying with Chase, where he was just so far ahead of the field that it really didn't matter what his price was. He had tremendous value, obviously, right? And the same kind of thing with Allen. So he is a top race quarterback, but I have him, you know, just you look at my projections, order all the quarterbacks in this slate. He's 6 points ahead of the second closest quarterback. You know, so just that huge gap makes him a value at this price point. He's averaging right around 24 points per game this year, right? That's already almost 3x 8,100, right? We're almost at where we want to be anyway.
Yeah.
He has 20 plus points in four straight, so he's played well as of late. Remember, he got off to the slow start this season, and he's still right around 24 points per game. He's been the top scorer. So we know he's high floor, obviously, but he has a high ceiling as well. He's been the top scoring fantasy quarterback in five different weeks this season. Nobody else has more than three, right? So, that's almost a third of the season. He's been the number one scorer. Tremendous floor, tremendous upside. These teams played earlier this season. Back in week 10 at 366 yards and a pair of touchdowns. They're playing the Jets, of course. And the Jets are a team that we've picked on all year, right? They've really struggled against quarterbacks. Fifth most fantasy points, fourth most yards to quarterbacks. Only seven interceptions as well. And obviously competition matters here. An NFL high, 69% of quarterbacks have scored above their average against the Jets. So even if we adjust a little bit for opponent, still actually worse. You know, it looks worse if you do that. So
yeah.
Great matchup. They're going to play, you would imagine, full out here trying to get that two seed. If they're blowing them out, maybe they rest. But if they blow them out, Allen obviously had a huge game, right?
Somebody did something well.
Exactly, right. So I think he's worth it. I don't often want to pay up this to this price point. You know, if Tyler Huntley starts, you're tempted to go that direction. We have a couple of their guys listed here as value options, maybe Justin Fields. But I'm willing to do it this week because the gap between him and the field is so large.
So big.
Yeah.
You talked about, just because we're doing this show during the season-long hour, you talked about wanting to 3X somebody's salary. Can you really quickly tell me what that means, just in case we have anybody that is new to DFS or just wanted to understand the strategy behind it?
Yeah, it's not a perfect methodology by any means, but it's you essentially want to, I put it this way, it's like kind of a loose measuring stick for where you want a player to get to pay off their salary, right? So you say, all right, he's just say 8,000 for the sake of argument, okay?
Yep.
Three times that would be 24,000. So 24 points, basically. You're dividing by 1,000, you get 24. That's your target.
Okay.
If you think that player can get to 24, or that's, you know, in this case, we're talking cash, so it's a, it's kind of like an average score, kind of a baseline score for where you expect him to be, most likely outlook, you know, 24, 8,000, it's like right on the money. That's where you want to get. And not many, like you look through our projections, you're not going to see many guys get to 3X, right? You're going to see maybe, you know, 2.5, or some guys are down to 2. But if you get in that range of 3 and you think the player can get there on an average week, then that's a good value play. And again, Allen's one of those guys that fits that bill.
I think there's another good value play here. And Allen, I want to talk to you about this because the last couple weeks, Kyler Murray has learned how to use his legs again in order to be able to establish some value here. He's taking on the Seattle Seahawks, $7,400 this week. Tell me why you like Kyler Murray here in tourney plays.
Like Lieutenant Dan, he's got magic legs. You know, he can go once again. It's outstanding. 40 yards rushing in like four of the last five. It's amazing what happens when you have a running quarterback. It's like a Konami code. Shout out to Rich Rebar, that they just unlock so much with their legs that they don't have to do as much through the air. But this offense is designed to attack through the air. And because of the injuries that it sustained, very easy paths to double stacking with Kyler Murray. So big ceiling game here. Good opportunity against Seattle. They have stuff to play for. There is motivation in week 18, which is something that is extremely important. Over the past 2 weeks, he ranked second among quarterbacks in rushing yards. Ertz and Kirk have really stepped up in the absence of Hopkins, seeing their target totals basically go through the roof. So they'll be the most popular double stack with him or stackable players with him. But like, pay attention to my sweet Wesley, who's looked really good, passes the eye test and getting enough volume to sustain as well. I did want to comment something about Mike's Josh Allen play if we have time.
Yeah,
we
absolutely have time. Do it, man.
You're really going to like this, Mike, because there's a couple things here. We're going to get a little mathy. So I apologize for anybody whose eyes are going to roll back into their heads.
Love math.
But usually players run away from a quarterback in a double stack or any sort of part of that offense anytime they're massively favored, right? So like in that Buffalo fits into that this week. What are they, 17-point favorites as of right now? Mm-hmm. So when a team has over a 10-point or favored by over 10 points, they have a over 17% chance of all three players in the quarterback and double stack scoring over 20 DraftKings points. It's happened numerous times this year, especially when you backtrack. Also, if a team has over a team total of over 24 points, they are almost three times as likely to get to that point, that double stack paying off with over 75 points historically over the last 3 to 5 years. Buffalo has both of those things. And the difference is typically under a 10-point favorite gets there about 5% of the time. And wow, it's not played as much by the public. So you're on the right side of the math in numerous ways here by going with a Josh Allen double stack this week in tournaments.
There you go. I like it.
I like
the Al stamp of approval. That's always good. Or is it bad? I don't know. We're
I think
out.
That's good.
Shout
I
out
love...
to Kyle for a lot of those stats.
No, that was I love that. Hashtag Al Analytics. That's what I we should start having that as a segment on the show.
Al Analytics. Got it.
Oh, wow.
Boom.
You know what I was thinking else we should do? We should start a motorcycle club, the Mike Clay Motorcycle Club, and we can call it MC Squared. How cool would that be?
Okay.
Mike Clay. Okay. Mike Clay Motorcycle Club, MCMC, so MC Squared.
I get it. You have... No,
I explained it. Did that make it better?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I just have to do that part where I get a motorcycle.
The motorcycle?
Yeah, okay. I have to do that part. Once we do that, we're set. You threw me off at the motorcycle part. I'm like, is there something I'm missing with the motorcycle?
No, I just thought MC Squared was funny.
All right.
A couple of the quarterbacks we like this week. Justin Fields, $5,400, taking on Minnesota. Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
$7,000 taken on Pittsburgh.
If Lamar Jackson, if not Tyler Huntley. Yes.
Yep. Lamar Jackson in his last three career starts against the Steelers, 38 rushing attempts.
Wow.
If he's going to use his legs like that, please sign me up. And Taysom Hill, $6,200 taking on the Atlanta Falcons as well. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about some running backs here. Mike Antonio Gibson, $5,800 taking on the New York Giants. He's had a lot of volume when he's been healthy. Mm-hmm. That offense has really struggled. But he's sub 6K with that volume.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Last week in the same spot at the same time, I said Antonio Gibson was my value play running back. He landed on the COVID list right after the show. Obviously, we couldn't use him. But in the meantime, his price went down $100. So he's even cheaper. He's in a good situation here against the Giants. And he's already off the COVID list, right? So it's not a situation where he's activated on Saturday and we're worried like, oh, man, maybe he won't play much. He's already there. He's already practicing. He's back, right? So we should expect him to be a full go in this game. He's a 21st price running back. A couple guys that are priced higher than him, A.J. Dillon, Ramondre Stevenson. Explain that one to me.
I can't.
That doesn't make sense. It's way too low. Look, he has appeared in 7 games since the week 9 bye for Washington, 21 touches per game. He's the number 5 scoring fantasy running back those weeks, and he's 18-plus fantasy points in 4 of those 7 games. And again, we need less than 18 just to pay off the 3X we just talked about, right?
Yep.
He's at 5,800. So great spot here. He's 4th at running back in touches this season. He's 12th in yards, or he's top 12, in yards and touchdowns as well. So he's been really good, even better as of late. The Giants, by the way, 8th most fantasy points, 6th most yards to running backs. And this is funny. It's almost the same stat as I just used for the quarterbacks. 69% of running backs have scored above their average against the Giants this season. That's 2nd highest in the league.
Wow.
The only team worse is the Jets, who fit that bill for the quarterback and the right. That defense has been beyond terrible. I cannot believe Robert Saleh has had a defense that bad. They've had some personnel issues, but it's worse than it. It's really worse than it should be. So,
yeah.
Nonetheless, Gibson is just too cheap. I know that he's just a few days off the COVID list, but again, he's been at practice. He's back at practice. Very cheap. Good matchup. There's so many things to like. It's hard to pass on him in cash this week.
Yeah. Well, spinning that forward, talking about that New York Jets defense. Al wanted to talk about Devin Singletary.
Oh, yeah. I like the last
couple of weeks has been quite fantastic. And to Mike's point, over the last couple of weeks, the Jets defense has not been fantastic.
Couple of weeks? Like the last 17 weeks?
Yes. They've been pretty bad.
Talk to me about Singletary here. $6,000 for Devin Singletary this week.
Can I just talk to you about the Jets, who are allowing 2.7 points per drive, 8.4% worse than any other defense, and they allow 114.6 rush yards to opposing running backs per game. That factors out any running quarterbacks. Just like they just give it up to opposing running backs. It's super easy to do. Just play running backs against the Jets and hope they don't get injured, and you basically will get there. The fact that Singletary's price did not come up enough. Like, it came up. He was 5,000 against Carolina week 15, 5,100 against New England, 5,400 against Atlanta. Like, oh, let's just bump it 10% for this week 18 matchup against the, let's check the notes, the Jets. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I think that he's going to be one of the highest played players on the slate. And so this is kind of why I like that Josh Allen double stack, because everybody's going to flock towards Devin Singletary, because I think he's probably the, probably the best running back play on the slate. at his price and his production, considering how much run he's gotten recently since he wrested the job away from everybody else. 61 of 76 snaps against Atlanta, 54 of 79 against New England, and 65 of 70. He's handling like 90%+ of the running back touches the last 3 weeks. And if that sustains against this New York MESS mess, he is on track for another 100-yard possibility, getting you that bonus on DraftKings, and has a very high touchdown expectation this week. Even though Josh Allen exists and does take rushing touchdowns away, he still had two last week when Josh Allen also had two.
I'm curious, is there any concern with the way that this, you know, we're talking about obviously all of the Bills here we think are good starts against the Jets. Is there any concern that you're up 28-3 at halftime, right? And Devin Singletary could be the one person where it's like, all right, we're definitely going to pull. I mean, we don't need to have him in there. Who would be the backup? I mean,
well, first of all, I'll say this. The Jets have scored at least two touchdowns in almost every game this season, right? So kind of low-key, they've been decent at scoring on the other side of the ball, even in competitive games. So I think they'll score enough to hang to the point that the Bills have to play maybe into the fourth quarter, maybe the whole game, right? It's still a divisional game. Again, Zach Wilson steadily getting better and better. Could have Elijah Moore back, maybe Michael Carter. There's reasons to believe they can score some points and it won't be 28-3. However, if they are blowing them out and they rest guys, they probably have four touchdowns on the offensive side of the ball. So you're
thinking that Singletary is, any one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I guess now is as good a time as any. I was going to save it for later, but, you know, little foreshadowing on my lineup. I'm rolling with, and I almost never do this, a quarterback with a running back in my cash lineup. I'm going Allen Singletary because there's so much value, great matchup, so much to like. They're just both underpriced. And I'm curious, maybe this is a forum here for Al to talk about that. What do you think about that, Al? I know there's certain situations we can get away with that with like Austin Eckler, of course, and Alvin Kamara in New Orleans. But what do you think about Singletary lined up here with Allen?
So in cash games, it's more about value. I just want to stack up as much points per dollar as possible. And since week 15, because of all the COVIDity, there's been tons of value that's allowed you to kind of break these cash game rules. I don't want to stack too many players from one team and put all my eggs in one basket in my cash game lineup. I want to get as much value points per dollar as I can. Now in tournaments, I do want to correlate those lineups. And like you're saying, Austin Eckler correlates better with his quarterback than a ground and pound only running back. Somebody like Gibson per se, if the Washington quarterback was the cash game play, I wouldn't want to have Gibson with him unless he had what we want him to have in terms of the pass game. But we've seen enough usage from Singletary in the pass game, and it's really about touchdown upside, volume, getting there without touchdowns, and the fact that the Bills do have a 4+ touchdown expectation this week based on their implied team total. There's enough meat on the bone to play both in cash.
I have a rule in my tool that doesn't even allow that, but I made an exception this week because it just fits. I mean, it's going to happen. And also, you know, you're going to see that in tournament settings, which again, Al could speak to, where, you know, if someone's setting a tournament lineup, they're going to think, okay, well, I'm going to go, let's just say Dawson Knox, Stephon Diggs, and Josh Allen. And then in a separate lineup, use Singletary and not use Allen, right? Because generally the rule is you don't stack a running back with a quarterback in a tournament setting. And this week, that's maybe a pivot. Maybe a lot of people don't do that. You go that direction and he catches a touchdown from Allen and you also have Diggs or Knox in there and it pays off big for you. So I think it's an interesting week where you can get away with that because of the price points.
His targets have kind of been back and forth, but I'll tell you what, if you hit it on the right week where he has one of those six target weeks with Devin Singletary, I think you're right.
Playing 70% of the snaps now for the last month. I mean, he's getting a lot of volume. The fantasy production has been there. So he is a good floor play. And of course, against the Jets, you get to go for 27 easily. You know?
Yeah. All right. We'll do a couple more running backs here. Speaking of floor plays, Jonathan Taylor, $9,300 taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Taylor has at least 19 touches or multiple touchdowns.
Wow.
In 13 straight games. That's incredible. Najee Harris, $7,200 taking on the Baltimore Ravens. Dalvin Cook, $7,800 taking on Chicago. Michael Carter, who we talked about on the other side of that Buffalo game, $5,000.
Yeah, dealing with a concussion mispractice yesterday, so just keep an eye on that. But if he goes, it's just way too cheap.
David Montgomery, $6,800 taking on Minnesota. And Sony Michel, $6,000 against San Francisco.
Yeah, Montgomery, a lot cheaper there than Jonathan Taylor. And he's been kind of hanging with him in points per game over the past month. So sneaky guy, you know,
sneaky
for
guy.
Sure. You can pay down and get similar production, I think. based on what we've gotten out of him lately. So like him a lot. And yeah, of course, anytime you can get Taylor or Cooper Kupp in your lineup, you do that.
You want to try and do that.
You should do that.
Mike, let me ask you a question. Do you own or rent your home?
I do, yes.
Sure, you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work too, but...
Always.
Do you know what's easy?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
I thought you had that memorized.
I do. I cheat every once in a while. Well, because I want to make sure that Geico knows how much, like, it's not about me. It's about Geico.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right. Fair. Can't argue with that. We love Geico.
We do love Geico. All right. Wide receivers here for week 18. Mike wants to talk about Christian Kirk, $6,000 taking on the Seattle Seahawks. Mike, I think this is a good matchup. Mm-hmm. We talked about Kyler Murray earlier in the quarterback area of the show.
The
quarterback zone. Christian Kirk at $6,000 feels to me a little high, and I want you to talk to me. Yeah, only because. Well, I just okay. You talk.
Okay.
I don't like it when you give me those looks, because then I feel like a bad human. Do you see the look he gave me?
I mean, you saw that.
It hurt my heart when he was like, "Really, you think so little of me that you don't?"
What are you talking about? I mean, we saw a graphic earlier in the show about. What was it, 2/3 of the targets from Kyler Murray over the past couple of weeks have gone to two people, Kirk and Zach Ertz. And look, I mean, Kirk's the 17th priced wide receiver since DeAndre Hopkins went out 3 weeks ago. So during the last 3 weeks, he's the number 10 receiver, right? So there's value.
Yeah, there's the graphic.
There it is. Ertz and Kirk have combined for 67% of the tight end / wide receiver targets over the last 2 weeks, for those not watching the video. And it's been volume for Kirk. I mean, 8+ targets and 6+ catches in 3 straight games. Of course, they're the games that DeAndre Hopkins has missed. He's averaging 14 points per game in the 6 games Hopkins has missed this season. Now, a few of those were earlier in the season. He's been even stronger as of late. And the matchup is huge here, okay? So, and you should be familiar with this because you're a Lions fan. So.
Hey, now.
No. I mean, in a positive way. I'm talking about Amon-Ra. The Seahawks have allowed 50+ fantasy points to the Rams and the Lions over the last 3 weeks. They've allowed the 4th most fantasy points to the slot this season, Christian Kirk, inside 79% of the time. And over their last 4 games for the Seahawks, now we've picked on them. We've talked about them in receiver corner over and over, including Amon-Ra St. Brown. Over their last 4 games, they've allowed 3 huge games to primary slot receivers. Amon-Ra had 35 points. Cooper Kupp at 35 points.
2 superstars.
And Brandon Cooks, who we expected to be on the perimeter, they moved into the slot specifically for that game. He's been playing more in the slot as of late, but that was the first game they moved him inside against Seattle. It's just smart by the offense. Just a smart move. I'm surprised teams don't do that more. Seattle runs a zone-heavy defense. They shut down the perimeter. They're not as good against the slot. What they do, move Cooks to the slot. Teams do that a lot less than you would realize, moving guys around like that. That's what they did. He had 18 points in that game. Not a earth-shattering game, but 18 is a big number. It's not 35, but still, that's 3 big slot games in 4 weeks against Seattle. Christian Kirk, the primary slot for Arizona. No DeAndre Hopkins. The targets are huge. There's so much to like here.
Okay. My only concern, because I was looking at him earlier, I specifically don't look at your lineup before I set my lineup. You can definitely tell that this week, I feel like. But his last couple of weeks, you're right. Like, the volume has been there. It's just that production hasn't been there as much as I would like to see.
He's wide receiver 10 over the last 3 weeks.
So week 14, 11.6. Week 15, 24.4. So I'll give you that.
Okay.
Week 16, 11.8. Week 17, 13.9. And now I'm expecting 3X. So I'm looking at 18 points, right? He's hit that one time in the last 4 weeks. Now, the matchup is obviously why you like it this week. So I totally get that.
Yeah, matchup boost. Yeah. And the volume too. You would expect the volume to lead to more production. So yeah, I mean, it's fair. But again, last 3 weeks with Hopkins out, wide receiver 10. I mean, I know that you had the one big game, but the production overall has been there.
Production and
we're
volume.
Talking cash, good floor. You have double digits, all of those games, 4 straight. So, and of course you have Kyler, you're scoring a lot of points.
Yep.
Good match. I think there's a lot of reasons.
All right, there's a lot
I am
like.
Higher than I would be on him a little than usual because of the matchup, but we're chasing volume here for sure.
Al, let's talk about AJ Brown. Boy, I hope we get the AJ Brown from 2 weeks ago and not the AJ Brown from last week. Taking on the Houston Texans, who I have been told can be taken advantage of through the air. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am so glad that you brought up the A.J. Brown from last week, because Arthur Juan only got five targets last week. But the game log watchers are going to look at this and say, wow, well, like he had 16 2 weeks ago against San Francisco, a game that was 20-17. And then they just didn't use him last week. They didn't have to use him last week. They won by about a million against Miami. So like he got game scripted out of that one. This is a different situation. Assuming that Kansas City wins on Saturday on the two game Saturday slate, they're favored by about, I think, 87 points against the Broncos. Don't fact check me, but like it's climbing. So they should win that game. Assuming that Kansas City wins that one, the Titans are in a situation where they must win to clinch. They control their own destiny to clinch the number one seed in the AFC and get home field throughout. So if you don't think that they are going to try and pile up every single point that they can in this game, in this must-win situation where you control your own destiny with an implied team total of 26.5, and considering that players this season have seen that have seen nine or more targets against Houston have averaged 20.5 DraftKings fantasy points per game. So we have a potential nuclear situation for Arthur Juan Brown this week, and I am all in out of what I don't think is going to be a very high percentage played in tournaments.
Yeah. I also want to bring up last week, part of the reason why the game script was what it was is because it was like a huge storm there. It rained like the entire game. Mm-hmm. So they didn't need to use AJ Brown the way they needed to use him before that. Like it was, that weather definitely played a big part in that game as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, you could be dealing with game script issues here if they're blowing out Houston, but Houston beat them the first time and they've played strong. You know, most weeks they play strong. So also a good matchup against the perimeter, much like it was against San Francisco when he had that huge game. The trouble spot for Houston is on the perimeter. That's where Brown usually lines up. So I'm with you on that one, Al.
Yeah. Love it. Love AJ Brown this week. All right, couple other wide receivers we want to talk about. Justin Jefferson, $8,100, taking on the Chicago Bears. Like him, Cooper Kupp. If Cooper Kupp is playing, then we like him.
Yeah, right? Kupp's an interesting name this week because they're shooting for their record, right? The single season receiving yardage record. He gets an extra game, but he needs around like 135 or something.
Yep.
And so far this season, the highest player prop I've seen for receiving yards is around 112.5, somewhere in that range. His prop right now at DraftKings is 125.
125.
So they definitely expect them to go for the record.
Wow.
But that line is too high. Like that is over 10 yards higher than any other line this week. He's only gotten there 30% of the time. So they're definitely expecting them to go after the record. The 49ers dealing with some COVID issues in the secondary too, which helps his cause. But sure, that is a high number. But nonetheless, he's always a fine DFS
He's player. Always a great DFS play, yeah. DJ Moore, $5,800, taking on Tampa if you're looking for a cheaper wide receiver. Brandon Cook, $6,300 on the other side of AJ Brown. Devontae Parker, $4,900, taking on the Patriots. Parker had a huge amount of targets last week.
Yeah, he did, and it didn't work too well. The week before, he wasn't targeted at all. It's been a back and forth, and he draws J.C. Jackson this week, which is a tough matchup, but he's had some decent games against New England the past couple of years, and the thing is, even with the tough matchup, he's $4,900. It's just too low.
$4,900 is $1,400 cheaper than Jalen Waddle, although we do like Jalen Waddle as well. Since week six, Waddle is tied with Keenan Allen for the sixth most targets per game at 9.6. You know who that's ahead of? Tyreek Hill and Stephon Diggs. Jalen Waddle is getting,
a lot of short range targets. It's a Tua stat. I mean, Tua is so conservative, and that's why they may look for another quarterback in the offseason. It's benefited Waddle, though, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, a couple other people here. Marvin Jones, $4,300 against Indy. Elijah Moore, $4,700, taking on Buffalo, if you want to go with the other side of that for a comeback.
He's on IR. We thought he'd be back last week. He didn't play, but I think he will play in this game. And again, the risky, yes, maybe somewhat limited, but at $4,700 off of, you know, it's just so low. He's been so good when he's played. I mean, at that price point, you can justify it.
And last one is Deebo Samuel at $8,500 against the Los Angeles Rams. All right. One more thing to say. Football fans, your season-long fantasy football league is probably winding down. Mm-hmm. But at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, the fantasy football action is hotter than ever. New customers can get in the game and play free for millions with their first deposit. Draft a new squad whenever you want for a new shot to be a winner. Playing daily fantasy football is simple. You just pick your lineup of NFL stars while staying under the salary cap and score enough points to bring home the cash. Oh my gosh. Of course, my computer's screensaver would turn on in the middle of my live read. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, you'll feel the NFL action like never before. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code FFF to play for free for millions. That's right. Enter promo code FFF to get a free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. Do not miss out. Download DraftKings and play with the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You almost got through the speed. The speed read at the end. You almost.
I always
got
like
it.
Doing the speed read to see if I can.
You almost had it. You almost had it. Really quick, by the way.
I love
we
you.
We just finished wide receiver. Adam Schefter just tweeted. We're this is live. If you're on video, if you're listening on audio, we're taping this Thursday morning. Deontay Johnson placed on the COVID reserve list, which means we can consider him very doubtful to play this week. It's Thursday, so. We're within 5 days of Sunday. Yep. In fact, at the projections at ESPN, if a guy goes on Wednesday, the list, I'd remove them from that point forward. Anyone before that's still there until we get more information. If it's a positive test, I'll pull them. If not, it's very unlikely that someone will play if they're placed on the list within 5 days or 6 days of the game. So we'll pull him later.
Does that impact either Najee or Claypool? Claypool's $5,100.
Yeah, Claypool, it's going to help. I'll bump the projection up for him. They'll put James Washington on the other side. So yep. He becomes probably a value play, but very risky because they clearly don't like him. I mean, Ray McLeod had 10 targets last week in the slot. McLeod is a guy, by the way, that's more appealing now. The problem is so check this out. Ray McLeod, 10 targets last week, short range slot target for Big Ben. Had 10 targets last week, barely did anything from a fantasy standpoint. But check this out. Ray McLeod, His last touchdown, okay, was 2017 at Clemson. That's the last time he scored a touchdown. No way. Is that crazy?
He's the new Jacoby Myers All-Star?
No.
I guess so.
Apparently.
Yeah, I mean.
18 targets the last 2 weeks and a total of 14 fantasy points. That's impressive. I'm not even mad. I just want to know how he did it.
He did it with Big Ben. That's how he did it. Their numbers last week? It was a 2.7 yards per attempt. It was like it was a historic day. In a bad way for Big Ben. I mean, just the low number of yards he produced on that number of attempts. So McLeod is a guy that's a borderline great value because of the volume, and he's super cheap. And if you want to plug him in your cash lineup and be able to spend elsewhere, it's a perfectly viable strategy. I almost did it. He's not in my lineup, but he was right on the cusp. I just wanted a little bit more upside out of that position. So a name to know.
A good buddy, Kevin Pulsifer, just texted me, said the only game that Deontay missed, Najee had 19 targets.
Wow. And look, it is a great matchup. Baltimore's secondary is a mess. We've been picking on them for weeks, so that definitely helps the cause for McLeod and Claypool, and even James Washington is a sneaky name. But, you know, Ben is throwing it short nonstop. I mean, if Baltimore has to be happy to be facing him because he's not attacking vertically, right? Yeah. And that's going to help them. Harris in a good spot. And yes, his target projection should go up a little bit.
A little bit. All right, let's talk about a couple of tight ends here. Tyler Higbee, $4,000, taking on the San Francisco 49ers. Mike, at 4K, you're looking for a big game here out of Matthew Stafford to be able to throw a whole lot, you know, 12 points, probably looking for a touchdown from Tyler Higbee, right?
Yeah, kind of a pay down here. Not a full-on punt, but maybe like a squib kick or something like you know what I mean? Like, we're not going down to Brevin Jordan.
Yes. You know? Like, it's not a full on punt, but it's like a squib kick.
I guess so. Does that work?
I get it. And it works.
I don't know what it would be. A fake punt.
But it's not, cause then you're going for it. I don't know. Is that what it is? I guess it's like a fake punt. Cause you don't have whatever. It was funny. Let's not break it down.
All right, fair enough. So anyway, my thinking here is I'm trying to find there's a kind of a limit to how low I want to go on tight end because those bottom guys have been just really bad, even like Jared Cook and they just don't have any sort of upside whatsoever. Brevin Jordan, even if you get a touchdown, it's still like barely getting you there. So Higbee, I feel like, has enough of a floor, and if he catches a touchdown, he could pay off. 10th price tight end, he's about half the cost of Mark Andrews, who's the top price tight end this week. And check this out in terms of floor. Higbee's been a top 15 scorer at tight end 9 of 15 weeks, including 3 straight. He's been a little better as of late, which is pretty good. 6 or more targets and 5-plus catches and 40-plus yards in those last 3 games. And they're going up against the Niners, 5th fewest of tight ends this year, fantasy points. So they've been pretty good, but Higbee did score against them when they played in Week 10. So not the best play. I mean, I'm trying to go into the Zach Ertz, Tyler Higbee range, maybe Cole Kmet. That's why a position where I struggled this week was finding that line, right? That line of, do I want to just go full on out and take the bare minimum here, a John Bates type, or do I want to get to a point like I did last week where I was like, I'm using at least Dalton Schultz.
Yes.
And that paid off in a big way, right?
Yeah.
So you got to walk that line. It's a little tricky with tight end right now because there's just that core group that you feel comfortable with. Higbee is borderline. So I kind of met in the middle. I didn't go all the way in. I didn't pay up for an Andrews or anyone like that. I met in the middle. By the way, Kyle Pitts, I'll be surprised if he plays at this point. Missed practice, has a hamstring. And I mentioned him because that's another guy crossed off from that top group, right? There's not a lot of options in that group. They signed a tight end off the practice squad as well, which makes you think maybe they have four guys on the roster now. Pitts doesn't play, they'll have their three. I wouldn't set a lineup with him right now.
Be careful with that. Okay. Yeah. Like that. Al, let's talk about Zach Ertz. I've heard Kyler Murray throws to him and Christian Kirk about 66% of the time over the
67.
Last 67% of the time.
Yeah, you were wrong.
Not even close. I mean,
I get picked on so much on this show.
Do you want to win or lose? Get your numbers right. Zach Ertz is...
So Zach Ertz,
so
huh?
what's his price point? 5,400? What is he, Ertz? Is he 5,200 or 5,400? What is he?
$5,300 for there. Zach Ertz. Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
See, you were wrong too now, Mike. God, we got to get our act here. Shake
that
your tails
joke,
when you
Al.
Walk, guys.
That was a joke.
I love it. Zach Ertz, 5,300 though. I like, all jokes aside, like he's a guy I think that all of us really like this week. And he's kind of that spot where you were talking about finding that level. Like Zach Ertz is sort of it
yeah,
for me.
I'll just say this, Al, before you jump into the reason I was okay paying down from Higbee to Ertz, I wanted to go Ertz, was because Ertz's numbers and Higbee's numbers very similar over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. They're not far off. Ertz had one big spike game about a month ago, but otherwise they've been very close. That's why I ended up paying down for Higbee. But Ertz is one of them guys that could score two touchdowns out of nowhere, you know, with Kyler back there. So I like it. But go ahead, Al. Sorry.
He should be scoring more touchdowns based on the targets, receptions, and yards that he's seen over the last four games, right? Mm-hmm. Tight end is a very sticky stat to touchdown scoring is tied to like the receptions and yards. And he's certainly gotten that with 40 targets over the last four games. There are four players in the NFL who have more targets than Ertz the last month. Justin Jefferson, he's good. Cooper Kupp, friend of the podcast, also good. Devontae Adams, good. And the greatest name in the NFL currently, Amon-Ra St. Brown, yes. Somebody who is near and dear to Daniel's heart as well. So four studs, basically, in fantasy that have gotten more looks than Zach Ertz. I think that he's been very unlucky to not score touchdowns. They could be coming this week against a Seattle defense that allows the third most yards per catch after the reception this year. He's also got four straight games with a red zone target. Six red zone targets in those games, consecutive games with an end zone target. In terms of OTD, I know that all of those things kind of fuel that stat that you created, Mike. He has a great chance to wander into the painted area this week at, like, you know, I don't know, what is he, 5,100? What did we say?
Yeah. 5,300.
Just don't ask Daniel.
Guys.
I like it. I like it. I hear you.
I just think that Matthew Stafford is going to throw the ball 27 times to Cooper Kupp. And so that's the reason why I'm nervous about Tyler Higbee in comparison to him.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That Kupp dynamic is interesting because they probably want to chase the record. But the Niners are trying to make the playoffs still, too.
Yeah.
They're very incentivized to stop Cooper Kupp, and they make game plan around that. So. Yep. A lot of things to consider.
The Rams are incentivized to win also. They can't just, like, they don't have nothing to play for. If they lose, they could be the 5 seed and play on the road. Or if they win out, they would have 2 home games coming up at SoFi. So, like, they have to try and win this game. It's not just like, well, we have nothing to play for. Let's just feed Cooper.
100%. Yeah, I agree. Both teams motivated. And they're not just going to pick on a team evaluating guys for next year.
Yeah.
This is a playoff game, really, for the 49ers. I mean, the Rams are in either way. They're just playing for seeding. Yeah. The Niners are trying to get in the playoffs.
But the Rams need to, like, as somebody that loves Matthew Stafford, like, he's got to get into a rhythm. I mean, he has not looked good towards the second half of the season here. I shouldn't say second half of the season, but, you know. Anyways, a couple of the tight ends that we like. Brevin Jordan, $2,700 if you want to go for the full-on punt play. Cole Kmet, $3,400 taking on Minnesota. George Kittle, probably $7,300.
Oh, yeah. I guess I shouldn't talk smack. I typed the wrong number in there.
$6,700 for George Kittle.
I don't know what happened there, but if you can get Kittle at $3,700, you should do that.
You should
do that immediately.
He does not cost $3,700.
No.
$6,700 for George Kittle. All right. Beard versus the Brain is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Mike Clay, give us your week 18 DFS lineup.
All right, here we go. We're going, of course, Josh Allen, a quarterback. Running backs won't surprise you. Antonio Gibson, Michael Carter for now. We're keeping an eye on that concussion, but I wanted to get him in there now because he is very cheap at 5K. Devin Singletary, of course, in the flex. We have that Allen Singletary stack we talked about earlier on. Wide receivers, Brandon Cooks, Christian Kirk, DJ Moore. The price is so low. We just need the production to follow, but he's hard to pass on at that price point. Tyler Higbee at the tight end spot, and we're going with the Bengals against the Browns at defense for now. Again, things will change a little bit. The Bengals are a little tricky now. When I designed this, there was more of an inclination that maybe the Bengals will play some guys. There's no Baker Mayfield for Cleveland, but now it looks like the Bengals are going to rest a lot of guys, so I'm a little more nervous about that. But there are a lot of defenses in that range, like Minnesota, that you can pivot to. So you have options in this price range. Again, I just have the Bengals slotted in for now. And again, if Carter doesn't play, it's going to shake things up here.
Yeah, one thing that we will say that we say every single week is DFS is fluid. You make sure that you are watching it right up until when kickoff happens. You do not set your lineup and walk away. And these lineups will probably change a whole bunch as we get more information throughout the week.
Like weeks like 1 through 12, it was almost like this lineup was the one we played because not much changed. But now it's just like, with the barrage of COVID, I mean, it's just blowing things up. And one or two of these guys, like last week, Antonio Gibson went on the COVID list. I had to change it. And this is happening over and over and over. So, and we just got the Steelers news, which could make Claypool a value. You know, there's a lot of things to keep an eye on. Najee Harris was already good value. If we bump up his targets, maybe he's a must play. So just keep an eye on it, like you said, leading up to the games.
And make sure you watch Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern. We go through a whole bunch of stuff. Mike, you talk about DFS lineups and plays there. So it's way more current
lineup. It'll either be the same lineup or an updated lineup on Sunday morning.
So definitely check that out for the latest info. All right, my week 18 cash lineup is Kyler Murray, $7,400 at quarterback. I'm also playing Devin Singletary, $6,000. Mm-hmm. Deontay Foreman and what he's done over the last couple of weeks, $5,700. Mm-hmm. I'm also taking Darnell Mooney at $5,900 and the volume that he's been getting recently. KJ Osborne with Kirk Cousins coming back at $5,500. I only did that after I knew Kirk Cousins was coming back, but I think that I was trying to find a place that I could pay down a little bit. Devontae Parker, $4,900. Mike, we talked about obviously the shadow that could be coming there, but he had a huge amount of targets last week and he's a good wide receiver. Zach Ertz, $5,300. And Amon-Ra St. Brown, $6,800. I am paying up for Amon-Ra St. Brown because I think that Detroit is going to come out. They're going to try and win this game against Green Bay because Green Bay has nothing to play for. And Dan Campbell is not just throwing in the towel. I'm telling you right now, he is not one of those guys. No, that's why I'm taking their defense at $2,400 against what I think will be a backup Packers offense.
Jordan Love, you'll probably get for half the game. I mean, the Packers, I think, will have the starters play early on, but it might be one drive. It might be one quarter. It could be up to a half, but I think that's probably it. Especially if they build up a lead, you know, if they're up 10, then it's like, all right, we'll just sit them and see if the backups can win this game. And that's another thing. We didn't actually get into that as much as I thought we would, but Packers can't trust them. This week, there's a good chance they're going to rest guys. And you're going to have to keep an eye on reports leading up to the games. The Bengals are going to be sitting guys. Joe Burrow's not playing. Joe Mixon is not playing. And you can pretty much guarantee that Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and C.J. Uzomah will be limited if they play at all. Like, if you don't have Burrow, why would you play Ja'Marr Chase? Like, what with Brandon Allen? Like, why would you do that? And I don't think they will. I won't be surprised if a whole bunch of them are inactive at 11:30 on Sunday or whenever they play. So those are two key teams. And again, keep an eye on reports leading up to the game who is and is not going to be playing in the games.
Yeah. Heck yeah. All right. Mike and I go head-to-head against each other with these lineups. We will keep an eye on where they're at. Al, you set a tournament lineup for us. Tell us what your Week 18 tourney lineup looks like.
So I got Kyler Murray, who we talked about at the top of the show. I'm going to double stack him with Antoine, oh my sweet Wesley, drop your sword. And Zach Ertz at tight end. We're going to bring that back with Tyler Lockett on the other side. My secondary stack is going to be A.J. Brown, Arthur Juan, who we spoke about earlier, and Brandon Cooks, who Mike spoke about earlier. Mm. My running backs, Devin Singletary. I'm going to eat some chalk there. And I kind of don't understand why the Buccaneers would rush Rojo back in this spot. So I have Le'Veon Bell. He's kind of a placeholder. I expect him to be the lead back for the Buccaneers. Going with the Detroit Lions defense because I love Daniel Dopp, and I think that Dan Campbell is going to go bite Jordan Love's kneecaps.
I agree. I agree with that.
Amon-Ra is an interesting one for sure. He's like a mini Debo, you know? He's running the ball now, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's super productive. I'm curious. You know, you get nervous with that day three pedigree. You know, he fell to the third round or fourth round. So we'll see, but he looks the part so far. Looks like a fine for your lines.
Football, Mike Clay. How exciting is positionless football going to be when you start just putting the ball in the hands of your playmakers however you can? I love it. All right. Tomorrow, we have a week 18 preview for everybody that's still playing championships. The entire crew will be here. Matthew, Field, and Stefania going through the entire thing. We also have Fantasy Football Now on Sunday, like we always talked about. Make sure that you tune into that for all the latest information. And then Monday, we are doing the Fantasy Focus Awards show. It will be our final season-long show of the year. We have put a ton of effort into making it fun. We got a bunch of stuff set up, so hopefully it will be a really good time. But check us out live Monday, same time, same place, 11 a.m. Eastern, like you always find us, Twitter, YouTube, the ESPN app, all those places. So with that being said, for today, thanks for letting us hang out and take over your feed, talk a bunch of DFS stuff. For Al, for Mike, my name is Daniel. Don't forget to love each other. Please be kind to one another. Be safe. We love you. Good luck here in week 18, and we'll see you next week.
It's no secret. Not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you, a Lions fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squad? Who's that squad?
He's Daniel Dopp.
Who's that? Who's that squad? He's Daniel Dopp.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.